Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What should I tell you is the sermon text? From the Gospel, "But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you." Or from the Old Testament, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Or from the Psalm, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Or maybe from the epistle lesson, "You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And so we begin. Do you know what the meaning of vanity is? Emptiness. So you could translate the Old Testament lesson, "Empty emptiness," says the preacher. "Empty emptiness, all is empty." Empty, like when you filled your life with things. And you've got so many things that the next time it comes that you have to move, that you're wondering, how am I going to pack all these? And yet, you're missing something and don't know what it is, and there's a sense of emptiness. Or here's one. You got 1,000 friends on social media, and not a one of them would sit around with you and do nothing. Emptiness. When you've gone for all the pleasure there is in life, you know the commercials. Go for the gusto. You only go around once. Grab for all you can get. And you've thrown yourself into that, and then the entertainment is fading. The pleasures are not as much pleasures anymore. And you recognize the truth of the sarcastic statement that the golden years, not so golden. But that's what you did with your life, and you pursued all of those things, and you're left at the end of it empty. You accumulated money and neglected family, and now you're alone in your own old age. Emptiness. You paid attention to all the things of this world. The things of this world, there's the fool of the gospel parable. Paid attention to the things of this world. Some questions began rising in my mind yesterday. The rich man of the parable, he was a farmer. Did he pray to God for good weather so that there could be crops in the field and a good harvest? Did God answer that prayer? It was a prayer for things of this world. Did God answer that prayer? Did the man then take the answer to that prayer and use it as an excuse to turn his back and completely ignore God? Is that what happened? There are questions. It's time to make you uncomfortable. How often is it that Christians give lip service to the whole idea of eternity, eternal life, heaven, relationship with God, spiritual things? And come to church because you've got to have that insurance policy, because what if it's all true? How many come to church on that basis? How many of us, when it's time for our prayers, pray for simply, here's my long list of the things of this world. prayers for this world matters, and I don't ever get around to the things of the soul. And that part in the sermon comes from, get this, something I read online. There are some of those good things online. A guy posted, and he posted this, a question to Christian pastors. When you go to prayer on Sunday morning, are all of your prayers for health and healing and this and that, and all of the this world things, and you forget about praying for strength of faith, to bear the crosses of this life, to endure, to trust in God, to grow in our holding on to the words and promises of God? As I read that, I'm going, oh, well said. Point taken. How many of our prayers are for the truly spiritual things? Lord, help me grow in faith. Oh, I need the faith for the things that I'm facing. Help me to grow in faith. And I'm not praying, take them away. You know best. But I know that you put these things in my life to help me grow in faith. So help me to grow. That's a kind of a rare prayer. Or since we've pulled out a verse from Solomon, how do you like this prayer from the Proverbs? Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread, that I may not have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord, or be in want and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. So here's a prayer the next time you head off to buy a lottery ticket. Lord, prevent me from being too rich. Prevent that. Prevent wealth that would be dangerous to my soul. How many would pray that prayer? So, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And is going to live life with only the stuff of this world. Meanwhile, at the beginning, when God created us, when God created Adam and Eve, and we were there in the mix, He created us for spiritual things. He did not create Adam and Eve so that they could run around the garden freely, eating from all of the other trees and enjoying everything that this world and this life has to bring and doing that forever. That was not the purpose. And it wasn't only after they fell into sin that He brought in the spiritual business of heaven and eternal life and forgiveness of sins and walking with God. That was the design from the beginning. He created them to know God, to know that they had souls, to walk with God, to share in the eternal things. And when they walked off on that, do you want to talk about fools? You can have eternal life or you can have this piece of fruit. And they took the fruit. When they walked off on God, He came again with the spiritual things, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, to come and bring once again the spiritual life to them so that they could be those souls created to know God and to live with God for all eternity. That was the purpose. So when Jesus tells the parable. He's got a fellow in the crowd that prays a prayer. God, tell somebody to give me money. That sounds like a worthy prayer? Hardly. He warns that fellow, and he warns the crowd, be on your guard. This world, this life, it'll dangle all kinds of things in front of you. And if you go chasing after them and forget the stuff of the soul, you will end up with emptiness. Because it's only in your relationship with God, only in your relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have the fullness of all there is. And so Jesus is the one who actually brings wisdom. All in contrast with the foolishness of our race. And we are a very foolish human race, aren't we? He brings the wisdom. And that wisdom is to hold on to the words and promises of God and to bring those words and promises of God to us, to a lost human race, to call us back into that walk with God so that we may be actually spiritual. Well, now define spiritual, Pastor. Okay. Spiritual is this. To hear, to hold on, to treasure the words and promises of God in Jesus Christ. That's it. Because the words and promises of God, that's the spiritual stuff. It is the stuff from God, spoken from eternity into our world, into our existence, into our lives. It is the eternal words and promises of God that open up eternity for us. And we talked about this somewhat yesterday morning. Daryl Thompson. His confirmation verse was Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that goes on to talk about the Word of God and treasuring the Word of God. And I said yesterday, it's fascinating how many times the confirmation verse that is given to us looks like it was given by God Himself, because it forms our life and our spiritual relationship with God. So treasuring the Word of God, this is the eternal stuff, and He treasured the Word of God all through His life, and then that eternal Word of God took hold of Him and held Him through all of the problems, the weaknesses, the sadness, the tragedies of this life. It held on to Him. So that at the end, that eternal Word of God, that brought Him into eternity. The words and promises of God in Jesus Christ, who comes to bring forgiveness of sin, who went to the cross for us, facing the judgment, standing under the judgment with us. So that He could take the resurrection of Easter and give that to us so we could share in His eternity. The eternal Word of God comes to us to put eternity into our souls. and you've heard this now, I don't know how many times, when the eternal word of God is in your soul, that puts eternity within you. It changes you. It binds you to the eternal stuff of God and brings you into eternity. So those words and promises of God, they come to you and you hear them, and God puts them in your ears and puts them in your heart. And then in just a few minutes today, we're going to go to the Lord's Supper, and God will take eternity once again and give us eternity in this supper. Because he takes the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And that within our souls binds us to Jesus Christ. Gives us eternal life. Today we're confronted with the contrast. Because yesterday we had a memorial service for a faithful Christian. And then around our nation, we see those who have no idea of eternity. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then they proceed to do abominable things. And the foolishness of living without God and without the Word of God and without eternity is just simply empty. So, final word. Treasure the fullness that you receive right now. Treasure the fullness that you will receive in the supper. Go with that fullness out into a world where so many souls are living with emptiness. In Jesus' name, amen.